This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Meal already. In this case, what do? In this case, the first thing, you shouldn't be putting a lot of food to begin with. You should just have enough so you can break your fast just with dates. But sometimes people put like a whole meal, and in the middle, you stop, and then you haven't finished eating yet. And that also is something that's distracting also. And that's why it's best to have something light. And normally that would be it for during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for us, usually that's not enough. We have to have, as I mentioned last time, our rice. We have to have more. And so if you're putting all that in front of you, it's also distracting, especially when it's already. If the food is not served yet, then that's fine. You know, it's like it's not in front of you. But once it's in front of you, then finish, eat until you're finished eating, inshallah, and then you continue. But what if you're in the masjid and it starts already? And of course, if that's the case, generally we don't have a lot of food, so you don't have to worry about that. But if there is a lot of food, let's say you might be at home, then finish whatever is already on the table. I mean, not the whole thing on the table. Finish the meal that's given to you. But like I mentioned, you should put yourself in that position where you shouldn't be eating a lot more than what you have to, especially before prayer. Especially if it's going to take a long time, if you don't have, you know, Maghrib and Isha is going to be usually a lot shorter. So what do we say? What's the dua that you say when you're breaking your fast? Because we hear a lot of du'as and supplications, especially after fasting. And some of them are authentic, some of them are not authentic, some of them are from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So which of them should we be saying? We have a hadith from Sunan ibn Majah, from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhumah, who said that anna Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, he said أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن للصائم عند فطره دعوة ما ترد. Indeed, a person عند فطره, a person who is fasting while he's breaking his fast, عند فطره دعوة ما ترد. One who is fasting has a da'wah. What is a da'wah? It's a supplication. It's a supplication that you have that's not rejected. The supplication they have is not rejected. What does it mean, inda fitrihi? That means right when you're waiting, and usually when you're hungry, your heart is softened as a result of your hunger. It's humble and you're in a state of humility. That's the time in which your dua, inshallah, is accepted. And that's why one of the best things to do is right before the breaking of the fast, we should spend our time supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a very, very valuable time. A lot of people waste that time by talking, you know, because you're hungry, you want to chat with the people next to you. And that's a waste of very, very valuable time. And so that's why you should raise your hands, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna Allah hayyun kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is very shy and bashful. يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ. He's shy when his servant raises his hands. يَرْفَعْ يَدَيْهِ. يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ. He's shy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is shy when you raise your hands and he drops his hands and he doesn't respond to his supplication. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will respond to your supplication, especially. So you're raising your hands, and that's a means also of, you know, increasing your chances of having your dua accepted, and you're in a state of humility, a state of hunger before you're breaking your fast. That is something that also is very, very, very valuable time. And so spend that, inshallah. You have a dua, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the goodness of this life and also for the goodness of the hereafter. وَكَانَ عَبْدُ إِذَا أَفْطَرَ يَقُولُ. And Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatik. And this is what he used to say. This is the dua that, of course, this is the companion that's narrating this particular dua, and he said, or narrating this hadith, he says, this is what he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika. Oh Allah, I ask of your mercy, allati wasiyat kulla shay, the mercy that encompasses all things, antaghfir li, that you forgive me. So what did he ask for? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Allahumma inni asaluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay'in an taghfira li. Of course, this is from an action of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If one wants to do so, when it comes to dua, of course, it's open. There's no specific dua that you have to. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to also say, kana yaqul, he used to say what? ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. He said, he used to say, ذهب الظمأ, ذهب الظمأ. That means the thirst is gone. And some people, they recite this before they drink, before they eat, right? ذهب الظمأ, that means your thirst is gone. وابتلت العروق, and also your veins are full again. You know what? As soon as you eat and you drink, you can feel the blood rushing, right? You can feel it. You can feel the food actually affecting how you, as if you can feel it in the blood. So when you're drinking, you know, you can feel a big difference right away in your whole body. And so, وَبْتَلِتْ الْعُرُوقِ, indeed the veins are now filled. وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ taala, and the reward is confirmed, inshaAllah. The reward is confirmed, inshaAllah. So when should you say this? Should you say it before? No, you shouldn't say it before. Why? Because you're saying ذَهَبَ الظَّمَى. Means the thirst is gone. Like, thirst is not gone yet. I haven't. So as soon as you drink and you feel that, you say ذَهَبَ الظَّمَى وَابْتَلَتِ الْعُرُوقِ. Of course, you say Bismillah and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this is you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you all this. And so you say ذَهَبَ الظَّمَى. The thirst is gone. وَابْتَلَتِ الْعُرُوقِ وَثَبَتِ الْأَجِرِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And indeed the reward has been confirmed. And also, there's another hadith also that's also mursala. Mursala means it goes to the companions. This is from, it doesn't, means this is something that says, you know, that the companions did. But it's not something that is attributed directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or if it is attributed, we don't have the whole chain connected all the way to it. And so he used to say, so this is, if someone wants to say so, they can use it, inshallah. Because anytime you see a companion, and when it comes to dua, it's a lot more flexible, you know, than certain other things. Because you can make dua for anything, right? And so if it's a good dua, one can also say it as inshallah. So one of which is that a lot of people say, Allahumma laka sumt wa ala rizqika aftart. Oh Allah, for you I have fasted, and upon your provisions I have broken my fast. And it's for you I fasted, and with your provisions I have broken my fast. And another hadith which is authentic from Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَتُهُمْ. Three types of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject their dua. Like three types, three groups of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject their dua. When they supplicate to Allah, Allah will accept it, inshaAllah. So one, as-sa'im hatta yuftir. One who is fasting, hatta yuftir. One who is fasting until he breaks his fast. So what does this tell us? So right before you break your fast, that's the best time to make dua. As-sa'im hatta yuftir, until he breaks his fast. So while you're waiting, that's one of the times in which your dua is accepted, inshallah. Well, Imam al-Adil, and the Imam that's just. The Imam here doesn't mean the Imam that leads the prayer. Al-Imam al-Adil is like one who, the Khalifa, or the leader of the Muslims, and one who has authority, and, you know, he's just, like in terms of his ruling. And so, because there's a lot of, when someone has authority, it's very easy for them to, it's very easy to them for someone who has authority, who has money, who has wealth, there's no one to really, you know, to really check him. You know, there's no one to really check him. It's easy for someone like that to abuse their power. So one who does not abuse his power, if he's the leader, he's someone who has authority and he doesn't abuse his power, that is someone who when they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they supplicate to Allah, Allah will accept it from them. So subhanAllah. Why? Because it's a big test, you know, the trials and tribulations of authority. And a lot of us, we also we like to, many people like to speak about the leaders, the Muslim leaders, but if we were put in that position, same position, I don't know if many of us would be the same or even worse, right? Because that's a fitna, you know, it's a fitna. You're like, man, why did they do this and why did they do that? So supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them firm and puts them on the right path. And help them in their decisions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to forgive their mistakes, and so that's the best thing you can do. Instead of just, you know, talking badly about people all the time, supplicate to Allah. Maybe Allah will accept your dua. And so, al-imam, but the imam that's adil, that's just, he raises his hands, Allah will accept it. That's the second. And wal-madhlum, and someone who is oppressed. Someone who is oppressed. And that's why it's very, very dangerous. You don't want to oppress anyone, because someone who is oppressed, there's nothing between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He supplicates to Allah and it's direct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that person's for a supplication. And sometimes Allah accepts it right away. And there are many cases and incidents in which we, during the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which there are some who oppressed others, who stole their land and so forth, and they would make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua. Why? Because one who is oppressed is usually sincere, and someone who is oppressed is in a state where they are muttar. That means they're like, you know, they're feeling very, very sad, or they're feeling very stressed as a result of the oppression of other people. And that's why when someone is in that state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that person's dua. And when someone's in a state of, you know, where they're going through a lot of hardships and they supplicate to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that person's dua. And so during that time, before you break your fast, even while you're fasting, try to supplicate very often. Try to supplicate as much as you can. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about fasting, after finishing the verses of fasting, the obligation of the fast, and then the revelation of the Qur'an in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Oh Muhammad, if my servants ask you about me, then I am near, surely I'm near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةِ الدَّاعِي. Ujibu da'wat al-da'i. I will respond to the caller who calls upon me. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention this after mentioning fasting in Ramadan? Because this is a time in which Allah accepts our repentance and accepts our dua, inshallah. If we're sincere, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our repentance. And this is, you know how some people are like, man, if I only had three wishes, right? You have... every time you break your fast, you have it. You know, you have it. But you might say, well, sometimes I supplicate to Allah and Allah doesn't give to me. And there are times in which you do supplicate to Allah. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something even better. Sometimes you might, like a person might want to marry the sister. And then in the end, you know, he's like, ya Allah, make it easy for me to marry this sister. And then Allah does not give that to him. And then later on he finds out that, you know what, alhamdulillah, Allah gave him someone better. And look at the other sister. If he would have gotten married to that sister, maybe it wouldn't have been the same. And so sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something even better. So when you're supplicating to Allah, either Allah gives you what you want right away, or Allah saves it for you and gives you something better, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves it for you in the hereafter. And so you never lose. And in the hereafter, do you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, Ya Allah, I wish that you had not accepted any of my dua in this world. Because what I got in replacement for that is so much better in the hereafter. Because whatever you get here is temporary, right? Especially if you're asking for the dunya. So also remember also when you're supplicating to Allah, don't ask just for this dunya. Ask for the goodness of this dunya and of the akhirah also. So don't forget that also. And so when fasting also. When a person fasts, fasting is supposed to give us taqwa. Right, it's to help us to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you don't do anything that's contradictory to that. Because the purpose of the fast is not just to go hungry and thirsty, no. The purpose of the fast is to help us abstain from that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because fasting is patience. And what is patience? So what are the three things that you're benefiting from your fasting? It's all related to patience. Patience in abstaining from the haram, patience in the obedience of Allah, and patience in times of calamity and thirst and hunger. So it teaches all that also. We're thankful to Allah, you know, because when you're hungry, you're thinking about all those who are hungry and thirsty also. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people, sometimes He tests them with وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصِ وَالْخَوْفِ fear, وَالْجُوعِ and also hunger. وَالنَّقْصِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ and sometimes loss of wealth and loss of life and loss of crops. So give glad tidings to those who have patience. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us patience, and all three types of patience are found in the fasting itself. And so what do we benefit from it? It's taqwallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And so that's why it's not just holding back from food and drinks, it's holding back from all that which is prohibited. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, Laysa siyam, it is not just the fasting isn't just a siyam min al-akli wa shurb, it's not just fasting from food and drinks. Innama siyam, true fasting, min al-lagwi wa rafath, it is the fasting from idle talk, so, and also lewdness, I mean, you know, like foul speech, idle talk or foul speech. And so the true fasting, of course, a lot of times we think, oh, we're just fasting, but it's not fasting only from food and drinks. It's fasting to be conscious of Allah, say, okay, what am I want to say something. Is that pleasing to Allah? If it's not, then I hold back. So it's also fasting from, it's verbal also. It's not just physical. Verbal and fasting in your actions also. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, he says, مِنَ اللَّغْوِ. What is لَغْو? لَغْو is just idle talk, which means that which does not benefit you. So it could be mubah. I mean, it could be permissible, but it's a waste of time. Like, okay, today I'm fasting, and you know, you might have like, you know, a very, very interesting basketball game going on. So you're like, okay, and your friend comes over and you're like talking about, you know, this person and that person. Hey, look at LeBron, man. He's like this and that. You're just wasting your time. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, whosoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, falyakul khayran aw liyasmut. Whoever believes in Allah in the Day of Judgment, what should he do? He should not say anything except that which is beneficial. If it's not beneficial, then he shouldn't say anything at all. He should be quiet. And so that's why when you're fasting, you know, you should not have the day that you fast be the same as the day that you don't fast. It has to be different. How should it be different? It should be different in the speech, in the actions, in everything that you do. The day that you're fasting should not be the same as any other day. Because if you're not eating and drinking, you're not eating all day anyways, right? So, but the thing is, there should be other things also. You should also be fasting from saying things that are not beneficial also. فَإِنْ سَابَكَ أَحَدٌ, if someone yells at you, let's say someone curses you out, أَوْ جَهِلَ عَلَيْكَ, or he gets angry and starts screaming at you, right? فَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ, then say to that person, I am fasting. In other words, if someone is yelling at you, talking to you, is screaming at you, or if someone is just wasting your time, right? Says, you know, I'm fasting. I don't want to be talking about, you know, backbiting or anything like that. So anytime you're put in a situation where you might be doing something haram, remind yourself you're fasting. When you say, I'm fasting, you're reminding the other person also, like, you know, the day that I'm fasting and the day I'm not fasting is not the same. Right now I'm fasting, right? And so, inshallah, when someone's yelling at you, or you, and sometimes when you're hungry, you tend to be more, you know, a lot of people are more irritable, right? They're like, you know, they get, what do they call, hangry, right? They're hungry, and it's very quick. They get angry very quickly. And so, you should hold back and should not, you should say, Inni sa'im, Inni sa'im. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in another hadith that's reported by, you know, all the major collections of the hadith, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and also the Sunan also, he said that the Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man lam yada' qawl az-zuhur, whosoever does not leave false speech, wal amala bih. So in other words, who does not leave false speech and acting upon it, which means what? He who does not leave sins, verbal sins or physical sins, sins of the actions that you do, then فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٍ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٍ أَيَّدَعْ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Allah does not need that you abandon food and drinks. Why? Because, okay, you abandon food and drinks, and your mouth is just going away. I mean, saying things that are haram, lying and so forth. Lying and backbiting and false testimony. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say, "Man lam yada qawl az-zur," we're giving false testimony? Why? Because that's one of the major sins, one of the greatest sins verbally. So if you're not going to do, if you're going to commit a sin and then you're fasting, that defeats the purpose. Because the purpose of the fast is to help you abstain from the haram. It's not to just abstain from food and drinks. You're abstaining from food and drinks in order for you to learn the lesson of not doing things that are haram. But then you're going to commit the haram and then abstain from food and drinks. It's like, right, the purpose and the means, it's like, you know, like you want to help your mother out, right? And you want, so you're going to go wash the dishes. And so you run to the kitchen, you push your mother to the side. Like, how are you going to help your mother out? What are you trying to do? I think we ran out of battery here. Yeah, the battery is running out. Maybe we should replace it later. So you're trying to help your mother out, right? By doing a good deed. And you say, I'm trying to wash the dishes. So you're washing the dishes. Why are you washing the dishes? Because you're helping out. And then on the way, you said, I'm trying to help out, but then you push your mother aside. You push her. You push her, you make her mad. Like, what's the purpose? What is she going to say? She'd probably take the dishes and throw it at you anyways. Like, she won't even care about the dishes anymore, right? Why? And so the purpose is what? So the purpose of the fast, it's to prevent, to help you stay away from the haram. And then you're going to do that which is worse than eating and drinking, in terms of, you know, eating and drinking itself is a means to help you achieve a goal. And that goal is to abstain from that which is haram. And that's why you don't eat and drink. But then you're going to do the haram anyways, and you're going to say that which is haram anyways. Allah says, the Prophet said, Allah does not need that. Allah does not need that you do that, that you abstain from food and drinks. And the Prophet also said, he said in another hadith, and listen to this particular hadith. This is a Sunan al-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. And this hadith is deemed as authentic, sahih, insha'Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, of the Prophet said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ. Sometimes, maybe, there are some people who are fasting and they don't get anything from their fast except for what? Hunger and thirst. What does that mean? No reward. They're fasting, but like, what are you getting from your fast? Nothing. The only thing you're getting, your only thing is that you're hungry and thirsty, that's all. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا سَهَرٍ. And maybe there are some who just stand up for prayer, and the only thing they get from their prayer is just they're awake. Like, they stay up. That's all. The only thing you're getting from it, you're awake. That means you're not concentrating in your prayer. When you're fasting, you're only hungry and thirsty. You're complaining about this and that, and you're not getting any reward. Why? Because you're not fasting properly. You're not standing up in prayer properly. You're not concentrating. You don't have khushu in your prayer, and so forth. And so sometimes a person doesn't get anything except for that. And so that's why you have to focus on your actions in the month of Ramadan. It's not just food and drinks. It's your actions by doing good deeds and by abstaining from that which is haram. And so that's why you should not be sitting down backbiting, wasting your time. And as I mentioned, it should not be the same thing. And another thing during the month of Ramadan is during the month of Ramadan, a lot of people, they feel like you should not, you know, brush your teeth, right? So it's best to use a siwak if you can, because it's mustahab, whether it's in the afternoon or in the morning or any time. So as Muslims, of course, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scent of a person, la khalufa fama sa'im atyab 'indallahi min rih al-misk, the foul smell that comes from the mouth of a person fasting is more pleasant in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of musk. And so this, of course, this is going to happen. It's not because of your mouth. It's because you don't have food in your stomach and it's coming from the inside. So you're allowed to brush your teeth, and it's okay to brush your teeth as long as you don't swallow water in doing so. And of course, during the month of Ramadan, what should we be doing? We should be studying the Quran and also be charitable. Because Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of all people. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدْ مَا يَكُونَ. And he was most generous in Ramadan. هِنَا يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ. When Jibreel used to meet him. وَكَانَ يَلْقَاهُ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانٍ فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. And he used to meet him every single night in the month of Ramadan. And they would study the Quran, read the Quran. And so the recitation of the Quran is something that's sunnah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ would recite the Quran with Jibreel. Jibreel would come. And so it's sunnah to recite the Quran as often as we can, especially at nighttime when you are praying behind the imam. And if you go home, you continue to do so. And also, inshallah, to recite the Quran or to continue your prayers also. فَلَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. And the Messenger of Allah during the month of Ramadan, أَجْوَدُ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. He was more generous in doing good than the wind, like the cool breeze. The cool breeze. And so the cool breeze, when it comes, everybody benefits from it. And some of the scholars have said, when that wind comes, that cool breeze comes, you know, especially in the desert, when you're like, it's really hot, and you're especially living in tropical countries, when you see the rain clouds come, and the cool breeze, of course, precedes it, right? When the cool breeze precedes that, then the rain comes, and everybody enjoys that cool breeze and the rain. And then when the rain comes, everybody's like, alhamdulillah, right? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of his goodness, when you see him coming, it's like, oh, subhanallah, everyone benefits from it. And, you know, the trees benefit from it. You know, of course, you know, when the rain clouds come, everything, the trees, and so you see the grass becomes luscious and so forth. And this is the description of Abdullah ibn Abbas of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as that cool breeze that everyone enjoys and everyone is waiting, everyone benefits from. And of course, you should, you know, the Salaf, they had two types, the scholars of before. They usually divided their Ramadan into two sections. What are those two? The first 10 days, the first 20 days, and then the last 10 days. So sometimes we like to divide into three. No, the first, try to be consistent in doing as much good deeds as you can. And then in the last 10 days, that's when you hit the pedal, right? Put your foot on the pedal and you try to end it the best that you can, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innama al-a'mal bil khawatim. Deeds are determined by the end result. And kana, and you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to say, kana idha dakhala al-ashr al-awakhir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the last 10 nights would come, ahya al-layl, the whole night he would stay up the whole night, wa ayqadha ahlahu, and he would wake up his family, and washadda al-mi'zar, and he would tighten his waist, in other words, his ma'wis, you know, his lower garment. And so he would tighten it. And so that's why that's an indication of him putting that extra energy in the last 10 nights. And كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوقظ أهله في العشر الأواخر ويرفع المئزر. And he used to wake up his family and he would tighten his lower garment. And so that's the thing that we should also try to do our very best when it comes to, you know, when it comes to being consistent in Ramadan. So you should have a first 20-day plan, and then you have the last 10-night plan. What is the last 10-night plan? That's when you take your vacation. Some of us, we have vacation from school, from work. You know, you take your vacations in those times because that's something that's very valuable. You know that this is an opportunity for you to earn great reward to benefit you in this life, also in the hereafter, inshallah. So that's why plan the first 20 days and then have another plan for the last 10 nights. If you want to make i'tikaf, that's also sunnah to do so. And if you can't make i'tikaf every single night of the last 10 nights, try to do so at least on the weekends. Right? If you can't do it all the time, then maybe, you know, do a certain time, whenever you're able to, inshallah. But try to make a plan from now. Now, you might say, why should I make a plan from now? Anybody know why? Because even if something happens and you're not able to do so, you'll be rewarded by Allah. You'll get the same reward. If you had the plan and the conviction and you were planning to make i'tikaf and you become sick, you will still get the reward of i'tikaf. The full reward, not just one reward only. You know why? Because you had the conviction. You were going to do it. You know, if you're truthful in your conviction, Allah will give you the full reward even if you don't do it. And so that's why right now, make your plans for Ramadan and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to witness during the fasting and the actions of ibadah and worship for this month, inshallah, the month of Ramadan that's coming, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in our time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to prolong our life so that we can worship Him during the month of Ramadan. Jazakum Allah khair. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Anyone have any questions? We'll open up for the... If not, inshallah, we'll end it, inshallah.
Do you have to stay all day in the masjid that night, or you can go home to eat sahur?
I'tikaf, you should always stay in the masjid unless it's out of necessity. Let's say you need to use a bathroom, or if nobody brings you food, you go and get food or have someone bring you food. Let's say, for example, sometimes each situation is different, but you only leave out of necessity. Okay, out of necessity. You should always stay in the masjid, and you should never leave the masjid unless out of necessity. Whether you need to use a bathroom, or if the masjid has food, or if you can have someone bring you food, then you're not allowed to leave. But if you don't have anyone to bring you food, because sometimes, like for example, we used to make i'tikaf in Mecca, right? And there, you know, you can only have dates and so forth. And so when it's time for suhoor, we would go to the restaurants and eat there, and then we would come back right away afterwards when we used to make i'tikaf in Mecca, because there's no one to bring us food, right? And so we would spend the night there. And so if you're making i'tikaf here, for example, and one of the conditions of the i'tikaf, also it has to be in a masjid that you pray Jum'ah, so that you don't leave. Because if you're in a musalla that doesn't pray Jum'ah, then when Jum'ah comes, you're forced to leave. And so that's why the scholars have made that as a condition. And the i'tikaf also is for men and women, because the wives of the Prophet ﷺ used to also make i'tikaf. Wallahu ta'ala. Any other questions? No? Yes.
If the khaf, it can only be made in an actual masjid, not in like a musalla, or
if they pray Jum'ah there, then you can.
If they pray Jum'ah there, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they pray Jum'ah, then it's considered a masjid.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. If they pray the five daily prayers and the Jum'ah,
okay.
Because there are some masajid, some musalla, that you don't pray Jum'ah.
Yes.
Like you just, like for example, you know, you have many prayer places that are, you know, the airports even have them. Right, you can't make i'tikaf there, even though people pray there.
Yes.
And there's some prayers, like some places, like some workplaces that people only pray, you know, when it's time for work. And then when on Jum'ah, nobody's actually there. Yeah, so yes.
You can be 1980 in the United States, right? 1980.
Yes.
So maybe 4 years or 4 or 5 years, you're not doing Ramadan that time, okay? Your mind coming up again, because Ramadan is wajib, you gotta pay, right? So can I pay Pidya in 5 years? You know, I was missing before 1980, I was coming to the United States.
Yeah, if you were young before and you didn't fast, let's say you know, sometimes people start practicing and only during certain, and for many years maybe they didn't fast, or sometimes there's another reason because of war. and you know they're unable to fast or for anything, and you're able to now you make it up for those days, inshallah.
Well, I don't make it up. I just pay the fee, I pay the food, you know, send the money.
No, you have to make them up. Even if you know that you've reached, once a person reaches puberty, any fast that they've missed before has to be made up.
Yeah, but you cannot give the money to buy the food. I mean, give the food for the person for 1 month.
No, you can't give them. You can't just give food and not fast.
Well, that's wrong.
Yeah, that means you have to calculate. Say you have 4 years. It's not that 4 years is 4 months, right? So every month, if you were to do it, if you do so, like, so yeah, since like 4 years, you have 4 months of fasting, which means like if you can fast like every Tuesday, and also if you fast every Tuesdays and Mondays, and if you make up those fasts during those days, inshallah, it's also good. So how many days you have? You have that those days, and then you add the 3 days in the middle of the month. If you do it all the time, you know, and with the intention of making up those fasts, in the whole year you would be able to be.
The intention for that being my wajib fast, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't have you still have to make up the days. You can't just pay. The only time when you're allowed to pay and not fast is if you become so sick that you're unable to fast anymore, like somebody who is chronically ill. But if you're able to fast, you should always make up the days. Yeah. So if you're not, even if it's like maybe 5 years or 10 years, you still have to make them up. The prayers you don't make up. Yeah. If you repent it to Allah, then you just repent. Then you start over and you ask Allah for forgiveness, and then you continue trying to pray as much sunnah as you can. But when it comes to the fasting, then you should always make up those fasts that you missed before. Yeah, and then you know the thing is just a little bit every week, maybe a day or two, and in no time, inshallah, you'll be able to do so. Yes.
Does it only apply when the person is poor? Like when you give food to the person, they have to be like, or can it be like any type of person?
You know, it has to be a poor person, because you don't just give to a rich person, mm-hmm. And so.
Is there a minimum period of time for it to pass?
There's no specific minimum. If someone wants to come in for a couple of hours and they made that intention, then they, okay, like let's say for example you have, you know, I want to make i'tikaf from now on until Fajr. Or just, you know, I only have this amount of time and I know that I have to go to work. So I'm coming in. So whatever time, there's no specific, there's nothing that says that the minimum is such and such. Whatever your intention is, when you do that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you, inshallah. Next, subhanAllah, we have the Kishore.